All right. For the past Sunday nights, we've been studying on forgiveness, and just a little bit of review. Some people may have missed a week. Some people may not have been here at all. I don't know. But first we looked at God's forgiveness, and we learned about God's holiness and how God is such a holy, separated, pure God, full of truth and righteousness. And the fact that we can't even think like God. We really have no idea how God thinks. Our minds, we have small minds compared to God. And we try to comprehend His Word, but it's still beyond our comprehension. So a lot of things in the Bible we have to take by faith. We can't explain. We can try to come up with explanations, and we can, come up with some pretty good ones. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that's exactly the way it is, because we can't understand the mind of God. But we learned how much we sin against God. Then we learned about how after salvation, God gets amnesia and forgets all of our sins and will not hold us accountable. The second week, we looked at forgiving ourselves. How we need to forgive ourselves. We need to realize the depth of God's forgiveness and forgive ourselves. We need to make things right with others and go on. We need to press toward the mark of the high calling of God. And then we need to, even though we're not held accountable, we still may have to pay or reap consequences for our actions. Just because we're forgiven, there's still going to be consequences for the sins that we do here on earth. God's not going to hold us accountable. God's not going to send us to hell. But we're going to end up reaping consequences for the things that we do, even before salvation. Then last week we studied the parable of the unjust servant. We learned about a king that forgave his servant of an incredible amount of money and completely wiped his debt clean. And then the servant, he went ahead and he left from there, from the king, and he found another servant that owed him much less than he owed the king. And he dealt very harshly with that man, put him in jail. And when the king found out how that man had dealt so harshly with the other servant for such a small debt, after he had forgiven him so much, he punished the man. And through that story, we learned about forgiving others like God has forgiven us. Because like this king, God has forgiven us a great debt, much, much bigger than even what this king had forgiven this man. And we need to forgive others' sins, or we need to forgive others' transgressions against us. And we need to forgive other people's sins. We need to forgive others, forgive the sins of when people sin against those around you, when they do something wrong to somebody you love or a friend or whatever, we need to forgive them. And then third, if we don't forgive, the Bible talked about the king in the story. God likened it to heaven. He said that the king turned the man over to tormentors. So first we learned about God's forgiveness. Second week we learned about forgiving ourselves. Then we learned about forgiving others. Now, what if we refuse to forgive? What if we say, God, I don't want to forgive. I'm not going to forgive. I refuse to forgive. And tonight we're going to learn about what happens when we refuse to forgive. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 12:14. Hebrews 12:14. Here it says, Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now tonight, I want to talk to you about bitterness, the result of not forgiving. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for, God, I thank you for giving us your word that's so clear. And even though we may not feel like we're getting a whole lot out of it, Lord, it's cleaning our minds, it's cleaning our hearts, and it's setting us on the right path. as we yield to it daily, as we read it daily, and as we pray. And Father, I pray that you would use this message tonight to accomplish your will. I pray, Father, that we would have open hearts and open minds and receive your word gladly. And Father, that you would convict our hearts of any sin that might be in our lives. And Father, give us the strength to change whatever sins we may be holding on to. Lord, please bless this church, bless these dear people, and bless our time tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My wife and I, we know a lady. We know her fairly. My wife knows her better than I do. But she's in her 40s, and she's always, every day she calls her 80-year-old parents on the phone long distance, not to talk to them or be nice, but to scream and yell on their answering machine and to yell all kinds of obscenities. And this lady, she's all messed up. She just calls long distance, pays the money just to do that or whatever else. She can't hold a job. She blames her parents for everything that's wrong in her life. Now, psychiatrists, if you went to a psychiatrist and asked them about the problem, they'd tell you that it was her environment that caused her to be that way. But this lady, she just, like I said, she blames her parents for everything. And she's never forgiven her parents, and she just lives in complete bitterness. Just complete bitterness. And her whole life has been ruined by it. Her whole life has been taken up by it. It's been ruined. It's ruined relationships. And it's hurt her in the long term. Her parents are hurt, but not as bad as her life has been. It's a sad thing. You know, she's not saved either. So she really doesn't understand God's forgiveness. And we pray that she would be. But in Hebrews 12:15, it says, the Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Here in this verse, it talks about bitterness. Now it says, if you notice, it says any root of bitterness. That means if there's any root of bitterness, that means there are different kinds of things that may cause a person to become bitter. Well, what kind of things could cause somebody to become bitter? It could happen. Bitterness can happen maybe if a sibling seems to be favored over another. Maybe a brother or a sister receives treatment or gifts and another does not, and they feel that there's favoritism. And it may not have even been intended, but they see that. They see favoritism, and they get bitter against the other. Bitterness can happen when a leader disappoints a follower. Maybe a boss doesn't give you the raise that you worked so hard for. Maybe a pastor or a leader or somebody in your life forgets to acknowledge all the hard work that you did, and you get disappointed in their leadership and bitter against them. Bitterness can happen when there's abuse, whether it's emotional, sexual, physical, whatever kind of abuse. Those things cause bitterness in people's lives. Bitterness can happen when there's jealousy, when somebody sees another person has something that they think they deserve. Maybe somebody else has a car. Oh, well, they don't deserve to have that. I should have that. They don't deserve to have that house. I should have that house. We may not say it, but we may think it in our own hearts. Or we may say it. But that just reveals what was already there. Maybe you see somebody has a car, maybe, you know, whatever it might be, a wife, or, you know, somebody has a girlfriend you wish you had. You know, if you had her, you wish you didn't. I'm just kidding. So that guy's, you know, anyway. It can happen when a child's rejected by a parent while they're young. Maybe a mother or father leaves before they're even born. I know my wife, I probably have talked about it before. Maybe I know I did with the teens, but with my wife, when she was born in on the East Coast in Virginia, and then her dad, while her mom was pregnant, her dad took off and he just left and wanted nothing to do with her, Kelly. their mom moved over to California, and when Callie was about four, was it three or four, five? Her mom met a new man, and then they ended up getting married when you were five, was it? Yeah. And they got married when she was five, and he's been a good, stable father in her life. But for them to get married, or after they got married, her new dad, that's okay, Jim. We'll wait for you. All right. You got to get Brother Dan to stop calling your phone during the service. Or you could turn it off, whichever way. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. Oh, my wife, they got married, and her new dad adopted her. But for all that to happen, her natural father had to give up rights. And that meant that he would never see her again, never get to know his daughter. And, you know, and my wife, that really hurt her. She struggled with that for a long time. Why her dad, her natural dad, didn't want to know her, didn't want anything to do with her. He just completely gave up rights to her and everything. And she struggled with bitterness for years. Bitterness can happen when somebody's rejected by their peers. Maybe they go to school, maybe they're a Christian and they go to school or whatever and their peers reject them and make fun of them and criticize them and it causes bitterness in their lives. It can happen when a child feels their parent don't spend enough time with them. I try to spend time with Keith. I don't always have the time. You know, you're working, you're doing different things, you're trying to provide for your family. Now I'm thankful, you know, my dad, he would take me out bowling and fishing. My dad was always involved in all kinds of different things, working, and he was a school teacher and he was involved in other extra things. But he involved me like he was fixing the house and he let me help him with that. And I'm thankful for that, but not every child gets that opportunity. Sometimes a dad has to work, you know, 16 to 20 hours a week, just to pay the bills. And you know, you just don't have you just can't spend that much time with your children, but that can cause bitterness in somebody's life. It can happen when somebody doesn't receive something they wanted. It can happen when a child goes wayward in Proverbs 17:25. Turn there. Oh, you know what? This whole list was supposed to be up here. So if you forgot what I said and you want to write it down, you better write quick because I'm about to switch pages. Here it says in Proverbs 17:25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. I know my wife and I, when we were traveling, we were with a pastor and his wife... His kids, all of his kids just went off and did their own thing and aren't in church or anything anymore. And he was telling me how his wife just struggled with bitterness because she'd taken all her time. She didn't work. She just spent all her time, you know, trying to give him a Christian education, trying to give him the best thing she could. And trying to teach him to do right, trying to get him to memorize the Bible and everything. And she just put so much into them, and they just turned on everything she tried to teach them. And she was struggling with bitterness. If you look back in Hebrews 12:25, the Bible says here, again, same verse we were looking at before. You could turn there. You can look up at the screen if you want. Or you can check if I have it right on the screen. Here in Hebrews 12:15, it says that we need to beware of any root of bitterness. Now, the root is the part of a plant. It enters into the earth, and then it serves to support the plant, and it provides nutrients to the stem, branches, and fruit. So bitterness, it works kind of like a weed. And just like there are different kinds, just like there are different kinds of weeds, you know, you get all kinds of different weeds in your garden and in your flower bed, wherever, but you get all kinds of weeds. But just like weeds, bitterness does the same thing. But weeds, they're uncontrollable, and they ruin everything that's around them. And they'll grow everywhere. They grow in the lawn, they grow in the garden, they grow in the flower bed, in the sidewalks, in the cracks, in the roof, on the trees, everywhere. You see weeds everywhere. We had dandelions growing all over our garden. I don't know how, somehow they just disappeared. I don't know where they went. Now, I didn't pull one of them out, but, you know, I was just praising the Lord. We had other weeds start growing in there, too. But it was different colored flowers. I was getting tired of the yellow. Now we have purple and white in there now. But nonetheless, we have weeds. But to get rid of weeds, you have to get right down there into the root. But if you don't eliminate the root, those weeds are going to spring up again and again and again and again. And you can pull them off, you can mow over them, you can slice them, dice them, chop them up. My wife told me you can actually eat the heads of dandelions. I don't know, Brother Dan does that. But I'm sorry, I need to see. You don't understand. When I get to the office on Tuesday, I'm going to have to pay for every word I say to you. But they sell all kinds of things to get rid of the weeds. Root pullers, sprays, you can dig them up. But if you don't get all of the root out, it keeps growing and growing and growing. And many times a person, they think that they can be bitter in one area and it's not going to affect other areas. But just like weeds, if you let a little bit in, it's going to take over everything that's around it. And just like weeds, you can't contain bitterness. It's going to affect other areas of your life. Turn your Bibles to James 3, verse 10. James 3, verse 10. I didn't have it on the screen. Here in James 3, verse 10, it says, "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water?" So here it says, you know, if you have bitterness in your heart, it's going to show up. If you have bitterness in your heart, it's going to come out. You can't hide it. You can't have sweet water and bitter water. You can't have, you're just not going to hide it. It's going to show up somewhere. You can't contain bitterness. You're not going to hide it. People think, well, I'm going to be bitter in this one area. It's not going to affect anything else. But bitterness can't be contained. It's going to seep over into other areas of your life. And just like weeds, we need to pull out every root of bitterness that springs up in our lives. You know, if you have bitterness in your heart tonight, you need to get rid of it. But we need to find out what is bitterness. First, I want you to see bitterness is a choice. No one can force another person to be bitter. It's a choice to be bitter. You say it is, Brother Keith. Yeah, for instance, turn your Bibles to Colossians 3:9. I'm sorry, 3:19. In Colossians 3:19, it says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." So if the Bible's commanding me as a husband to be not bitter, that means if I can be not bitter, that means it's my choice. So since God commands me to be not bitter, then it's a choice. So when we become bitter, it's because we chose to become bitter. But how do we get rid of this root of bitterness? There's got to be a way. And we're going to look at that. First, in Ephesians, turn to Ephesians 4:31. First, we need to admit that bitterness is sin. because bitterness comes from not forgiving. So bitterness is sin. And also in Ephesians 4:31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So here the Bible includes bitterness with the sins of wrath, with the sin of wrath, with the sin of anger, with the sin of evil speaking. So God considers bitterness a sin. And we're to put it away from us with all malice. We're to hate it. When bitterness springs up in our heart, we're to admit that it's sin and hate that bitterness. Not grab onto it, not hold on to it, not grab it with everything we can, but we're supposed to hate it and put it away from us with all malice. Bitterness is a sin because we refuse to forgive like God wants us to. Like God has forgiven us. We're being just like the unjust servant. So that bitterness you hold in your heart, it's not a grudge. I don't know if you use this term here. It's not a chip on your shoulder. It's not a feeling of resentment. It's not ill will. It is S-I-N, sin. Now, it could be any one of us, but maybe there's somebody in here and you have bitterness in your heart towards somebody. And you'll hide it. You'll keep it in, but it eats away inside of you, and it's like a cancer. And that bitterness, it will spread, and it'll spread, and it'll spread until it takes over every area of your life. But you won't admit it because they did you wrong. They didn't treat you right. But bitterness isn't about them. Bitterness is about you. It's your sin. Bitterness will not hurt the one who hurt you. It'll only hurt you and those around you. In Hebrews 12:15, the Bible says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. We need to beware of any root of bitterness because it'll even cause other people to be defiled. That bitterness you hold in your heart, husband, it's going to ruin your marriage. That bitterness, and it may not even be toward your wife. It may be toward your parents. It may be toward somebody else. It's not necessarily toward your wife. That bitterness you hold in your heart, wife, it's going to ruin your marriage. That bitterness you hold in your heart, it's going to ruin your family. It's going to ruin your friends. It's going to ruin your life. People try to justify themselves on the basis of the circumstances or of what caused it. Sometimes they'll say, well, Brother Keith, I was cheated. You don't know what they did to me. Okay, but that doesn't change the fact that bitterness is sin. You say, well, Brother Keith, I was abused. Yes, you were abused. That was their sin. But you can't allow their sin to cause you to cause the sin of bitterness. You say, well, Brother Keith, my parents did drugs and they mistreated me when I was growing up. Okay, but we can't allow somebody else's sin to cause us to commit the sin of bitterness. We need to tell ourselves and realize we don't have a feeling of resentment. We don't have a chip on our shoulder, but our bitterness is sin. So first, to get rid of the sin of bitterness, we need to realize We need to realize that bitterness is sin. We need to admit that. Then we need to confess that sin of bitterness. And turn your Bibles to 1 John 1:9. Having temporary difficulties. There we go. Okay. So we need to confess that sin of bitterness. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So we need to confess that sin of bitterness. First, we need to confess that sin to God. We need to make sure that we tell God, because only He can take that unrighteousness from us. Only He can take that sin from us and cleanse us and make us fresh and new. You know, if you didn't wash your body, if you went, you know, two or three weeks without taking a shower, people are going to start to notice. people are going to start sitting on the other side of the church. People aren't going to want to be around you. And the same thing, if we don't let God cleanse our sins or that sin of bitterness from our lives, we will begin to stink like somebody who hasn't washed. It's going to show up in our attitude. It's going to show up in the things that we do, the things that we say, the things that we talk about. And people may not exactly know what it is, but they're going to sense it. And there's going to be a little bit of there's going to be a sense of that bitterness when they're around you. Turn your Bibles to James 5:16. So we need to confess that sin or bitterness to God. In James 5:16, the Bible says, I'll wait till you get there. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we need to confess our sin to the person we're bitter with. We don't have good relationships unless we can do that. I hate to say this, but husbands, we need to be able to go to our wives and say, I was wrong. Wives, you need to be able to go to your husband and say, I was wrong. Bosses ought to be able to go to their employees and say, I was wrong. An employee ought to be able to go to his boss and say, I was wrong. A pastor ought to be able to go to his members or vice versa and say, I was wrong. Parents ought to be able to go to their children and say, I was wrong. A child ought to be able to go to his parent or her parent and say, I was wrong. You know, if somebody doesn't know you're bitter with them, you know, don't go up to them. But if you ever I'm bitter. You know, if they don't know, don't tell them. But if you have a relationship and you've been bitter with somebody for some reason, you need to go to that person and apologize and admit your sin. You know, don't go up to the person and say, you know, Kelly. No, I won't use Kelly. You know, my poor wife, she gets picked on all the time. It doesn't stop here. It starts when we get home. You know, Jim. I can't stand you. Will you forgive me? I still think you're a jerk, but, you know, just forgive me anyways. You know, don't go up to somebody. You know, you don't need to tell them why you've been bitter. Just say, you know, I've been bitter with you. It's wrong. It's a sin. I shouldn't be bitter. Will you forgive me? Next, we need to admit the bitterness of sin. Confess the sin of bitterness. Confess to God. Confess to those we're bitter with. And next, we need to realize the importance of dying to ourselves. That was a tight fit. That was a rough day. Galatians, turn your Bibles to Galatians 2:20. This is what we do in the office. We play with Photoshop. Galatians 2:20. In Galatians 2:20, when you get there. Here it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We need to realize the importance of dying to ourselves. You know, Christ, he was abused. And if you turn to Isaiah 52:14. Isaiah 52:14. Here it says, this is prophecy. As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. men. So here it was describing the crucifixion and how Christ, he was cut up, he was marred, he was tore up more than any man has ever been. He was rejected by his peers. He was spit upon. They whipped him with a cat of nine tails. They beat him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They mocked him. They made fun of him. They scourged him. Turn your Bibles to Luke 23:34. Luke 23:34, it says, Then said Jesus. Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. After all this, was Christ bitter? No, he asked people to forgive. He asked God to forgive them. Christ was never bitter, and he had every right to be. And the Bible says in the verse we read a few minutes ago in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. We are supposed to be crucified with Christ. We're supposed to be like Christ and die to ourselves. We're not supposed to care what others say. We're not supposed to care what others think. If I had a dead person lying here up on top, you know, on top of this table, and I just took my fist and I punched him, and then I kicked him, and then I took the body and I threw it down on the ground, I slapped it back and forth, and I yelled all kinds of things to it, that person isn't going to care what I do to him. He's just going to lie there. It's not going to matter. You can slap him around, you can say mean things, and a dead person is not going to retaliate or become bitter. When I worked, I used to work a job, I loaded trucks and stuff, and they knew I was the only Bible college student at that whole job. The people there, they would constantly be making fun of me and saying different things. I carried my Bible to work, I put it down as soon as I got in, but I never got in their faces. I was never belligerent, I was never mean to them, but they knew who I was, they knew what I stood for, they knew what I believed. They asked me questions, but they would always be trying to get on my nerves and doing things to me. But I was never obnoxious to them. But they would always try to get on my nerves. You know, when people try to offend us and they try to get us bitter, our problem is we haven't crucified ourselves with Christ. We're not letting Christ live through us. Christ had every right to be bitter, and he wasn't, and we need to do the same. Next, to conquer that sin of bitterness, first, we need to admit that bitterness is sin. We need to confess that sin of bitterness to God and to God and to the person we're bitter with. Next, we need to die to ourselves. Next, once we conquer bitterness, we need to stay dead. In Galatians, turn your Bibles to Galatians 5:16. That was when I got saved. Just kidding. Brother Dan was believing. 2009. It's all right. Galatians 5:16 and 17. Here it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." The Bible says that our flesh and our spirit are opposites. There. They're contrary. They're different. They're not the same. They're opposing. They're opposite from one another, our flesh and our spirit. For instance, our flesh makes us hate people, and our spirit makes us love people. Our flesh makes us love sin, but our spirit makes us hate sin. So if the lusts of the flesh are to hate people and to love sin, then if we walk in the Spirit, we're supposed to love people and hate sin. And when we love people, when we walk in the Spirit, when we love people and we hate sin, we are keeping the flesh dead. And just like those weeds in your yard, if you keep pulling them up and pulling them up and pulling those weeds out and getting that root out, eventually those weeds aren't going to be growing there anymore. And we need to walk in the Spirit to remain dead to our flesh. We need to read our Bible to help us remain dead. We need to pray daily to help us remain dead by killing that root of bitterness. We need to witness to people regularly to remain dead. We need to forgive others to help us remain dead. So to get rid of the root of bitterness, first we need to admit that bitterness is sin. We need to confess the sin of bitterness. We need to confess to God, confess to those we're bitter with. We need to die to ourselves, and we need to stay dead. It was a short message. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We need to forgive. If you don't forgive people, you're going to get a root of bitterness in your heart. Maybe there's somebody in here and you've never forgiven. Tonight, you have a root of bitterness in your heart. Have you been bitter? Do you have a root of bitterness in your heart? Maybe somebody did something terribly wrong, and I'm not excusing their sin at all. I won't excuse their sin for anything. But bitterness isn't going to hurt them. You need to admit that bitterness is sin, that your bitterness is sin. Confess that sin of bitterness to God and promise God that you're going to die to yourself. After that, stay dead. Like pulling weeds in your garden, it's an ongoing process. But if you don't start today by admitting it's sin, it's going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's just going to get worse. I'm going to pray in a few moments, and I want to give you an opportunity. I want to pray for you, because I know for sure, in my own life, that it does spring up. Things do happen. They're constantly happening. And we're constantly having to pull those weeds out, just like you have to in your garden all summer long. If God spoke to your heart tonight concerning bitterness, or maybe even some area I didn't even mention, and you'd like me to pray for you, would you raise your hand? Is there anybody in here like that? Anybody? Anybody else? There's hands all over. Is there anyone else? You can put your hands down. Maybe tonight there's somebody in here. You don't know where you're going to go when you die. You don't have the assurance that you have a home in heaven if you died tonight. If that's you tonight, and you want me to pray for you, and pray that God would give you that assurance, would you raise your hand tonight? Is there anybody in here that doesn't know 100% sure they're going to heaven? Okay. Father, I thank you for those that raise their hands. Lord, in raising your hand, that's the first step in admitting that it's sin. They weren't admitting it to me. I don't know why people raise their hands, Father. But I'm sure there's somebody that's dealing with that. And by raising your hand, it's admitting, and that's the first step to dying to yourself. And Lord, I pray that you would help these people. I pray, Father, that you would help those that raise their hands. Father, help those that maybe they didn't raise their hand. They don't need to raise their hand to me. But I pray that they would raise it to you. Help every one of us when that root of bitterness springs up, Father. Help us to die to ourselves and to admit that sin and to keep ourselves dead daily by dying. Help us, Father, to die to ourselves daily through your word, that our church could grow, that our lives could be more fruitful, that we wouldn't defile others and those around us, but that we could get rid of that root of bitterness and have a clean, healthy heart. Just like when we pull weeds out of our garden, we have a clean, healthy garden. Please bless this dear church. Bless these decisions tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.